Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be with you this morning. If we haven't met in a minute, I'm Chris. It's good to see you. And I am super excited to be here with you this morning. I want to start by telling you a quick story from my own life. The story takes place, Ralphie, I promise you, brother, it's worth it out here. I'm going to bore these poor people with a story from my own life. They're going to beg to go with you. Story from my own life. The story takes place on May 19th, 2007. May 19th, 2007. I know that it's weird for me to be referencing a date that's about 12 years ago. On May 19th, in 2007, just after midnight, I approached a young lady whose name was Jennifer Johnson, and I asked her if she would marry me on May 19th in 2007. I will not spoil the ending for you. Does Jen know about it? I don't know. We'll have to ask her later. So we'll come back to that story in the end, but if you asked yourself the question, why did I do that? Why did I ask her? The answer was not because she can make perfectly round chapatis. She actually, at that time, could make no chapatis of any variety. Round, square, triangle, none. In fact, we didn't know what a chapati was at that time. Had nothing to do with her chapati making. If you asked me why I asked her to marry me, the answer would be because I wanted to spend the rest of my life in her presence. I did not want even a single day to go by without getting to be refreshed by her presence. Now, our engagement was like 15 months in length, and we spent at least 5 of those months on 2 different continents. So even though I wanted to be in her presence every day, it did not happen for quite some time. But eventually, we did get married, by God's grace. And so on May 19th in 2017, just after midnight, I asked her to marry me. We had a small celebration with some friends. And then I went to sleep. And I woke up 3 hours later. And I woke up 3 hours later because May 19th in 2007 was a Sunday, and I was scheduled to preach. And I was scheduled to preach the very same text that we are going to go through this morning. And when I woke up that morning, I said to myself, I don't know if this is such a good idea. And the reason I said that to myself had nothing to do with the text or the church, but rather because I was very, very sleepy. And I thought I might say something very, very stupid because of the lack of sleep. But God was gracious to me that day. And even more than wanting to be in Jennifer's presence, I wanted to be in God's presence. We've been talking about that all morning. Because our God is a sovereign God who's in control of everything. And he knits these things together by his own hand. And the text that I went through that morning came from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. That's 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It's the same text we're going to go through this morning. And it wasn't a text that I had chosen for myself. I was, as I am this morning, filling in for a pastor. The pastor at the time had asked me to fill in. He was going to be out of town. Colin called me earlier this week, said, Chris. Actually, he didn't say Chris. He said, Chris! Just kidding. He texted me. He couldn't talk at all. And he said, I need you to fill in. And I said, no problem. And I asked him what to speak about. And he said he wanted us to talk about growth as believers, which is the exact same topic that I talked about on May 19th, 2007. And just like then, I prayed, and today I will also pray for God's help in this work, because it is too much for me. Yet by his grace, he is able to reveal his truth from his word to me and through me, and to you and through you to others. And so we are going to ask for him to perform that particular miracle among us this morning. Pray with me. God, we do acknowledge that you are infinitely good and infinitely beautiful, and that we long to be in your presence, that in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. As Navaz said this morning, when you have tasted this, you won't settle for anything else. So God, we ask that you would do that, and that you would give us, and that you would help us this morning as we read your word together, that you would give us access to your truth and to your brilliance. You would help us to understand, and that we would walk away from here knowing you more deeply and knowing how to know you more deeply so that we might grow. Give us eyes to hear, ears to hear, and hearts to fully know and understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so 1 John 3, 1 through 3, we will read it together. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is this, that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Show us verse 2 one more time. There's one small matter that I want to clear up, and then I want us to walk through the main logic of the text. So the small matter is this. It says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. This part of the text could be a little confusing, because we might think, okay, now we are children of God, but maybe we will be disowned later. Like, now we're children, but perhaps somehow our status as children is tentative, that we won't be able to maintain it into the future. What will happen, we don't know. Now we're children, then who knows? That is an incorrect reading of the text. A correct reading of the text would be something like, now we are children of God, in these bodies, right here. But when Jesus returns, what we will look like, how we will be with him, we don't know. It's too wonderful for words. That we will be found in a body like his, no longer prone to sin, no longer prone to sickness. We will no longer have flawed understandings and wrong thoughts. We will no longer believe deceptions. What we will be, we do not yet know. Because while we can describe what it won't be like, no longer deceived, no longer sinning, no longer ill, what it will be is harder for us because we have not yet seen it. Amen? Okay, so that one small thing I wanted to clear up. And then I want us to look into a huge undergirding principle from Scripture that is going to help us grow in our faith. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will be like him. Know that. How do we know? We will see him as he is. This is a really important principle that we see littered throughout the scripture. And it goes something like this, phrased differently. To the degree that you see Jesus as he is to the same degree that you are sanctified. To the degree that you see Jesus as he is to the same degree that you are sanctified. The world, as we learned earlier in verse 1, doesn't know us because it did not know him, and maintains zero level of sanctification because they know him not even a little. As we go from death to life, we see that we are justified and we begin being transformed, as the scripture says, from one shade of glory to the next. In fact, that's from 2 Corinthians 3:18. Would you mind to throw that up there for us? We're going to see this principle illuminated in another text. 2 Corinthians 3:18, if you're racing to home, I don't feel good for your chances. He's very quick. Maybe I feel great about your chances. We'll see. 2 Corinthians 3:18. There it is. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So, as we behold him and see his glory, we are being changed, transformed from one shade of glory to the next. As we behold him, we are transformed, bit by bit by bit. That's why in 1 John 3:2, John can say with such certainty that whenever he appears, while we don't know what we will be, we know we will be like him. Because, how do we know? Because we will see him as he is. That the transformation that we are undergoing in this life, bit by bit by bit by bit by bit, as we see him and know him and experience him, will be made full because we will see him in full. Are you following with me thus far? Excellent. I'm getting some traditional nods and also some bobbles, which makes me feel right at home. I like that. And this is a work that is done through the Spirit. We saw that at the end of 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit." This is a spiritual discerning, not in this life a physical seeing, but a seeing like a discerning or a perceiving him. Much like if you and I are having a conversation and there's a point of confusion, and then after that, there's some explanation, then I go, oh, I see. That kind of see. Perceive, understand, growing in the knowledge of. I have come to know. So that is what we are looking to do. To the degree that we are knowing God is to the same degree that we are being transformed by him. Praise the Lord. So the question that is in front of us this morning is, how do we do that? How do we see him more? How do we know him more? How do we increase in our knowledge of God as he is? And I'm going to prescribe three categories of things this morning that are going to help us. And this week I actually experienced these same things in a different context. So earlier I mentioned that on May 19th, 2007, I asked a girl to marry me. Her name was Jennifer Johnson at the time. It is no longer Jennifer Johnson. Her name is now Jennifer Burton, because she said yes. And we got married. And we are about to celebrate this July our 10th anniversary. So we will have completed 10. It's not Alex and Donity good, okay? It's not 25 years like they're about to celebrate. But it's good, you know? And I had been recently gone for about 7 or 8 days, and when I came back, I felt very disconnected from Jennifer. That, you know, like, we hadn't been really talking, I didn't know what was going on with her, we just weren't quite, you know, in step. Have you ever felt that way with a family member or a spouse? I know that Colin and Avaz recently went together away. I imagine that it had similar results, that Jennifer and I went and spent one night just off with each other, and we were able to talk and listen, And we were able to do that at a normal volume, as opposed to the normal volume at which we speak and listen, which is, hey, Jed, can you bring me the... These are my children in the background. And then Jen saying, what? And I said, can you... This is our normal volume. But now we were out and we were just in pleasant tones. And it was incredible, the amount of uniting that especially happened for me in one evening of normal talk. I listened. I got to hear what was going on with her. I spoke. I got to share. We got to pray together. We got to be united. It was wonderful. And by the way, it was because of some people in this room who agreed to stay at my house and watch my children for a night. So God bless you people. And we got to be together as family. And also as spouses and also as friends. That we got to play all of those different roles. And much like that was super important for my marriage and my connection and my knowledge of Jennifer, in the same way, we must, in a regular, intentional way, be connected to the Lord. That just in the same way that it was really important for me to go and spend time listening to Jennifer and hearing what was going on, what she was thinking about things and how her kids were doing and how her stuff is going and laughing with her about all the different things that are going on, it's important for us to hear from God regularly, to experience him. And the way that we hear from him is most often through his word, that we go and we spend time with him and we hear from him in his word. So one of the main, what we call means of grace or ways that we get to experience God and grow in our knowledge of him is by experiencing him in his word. And if I don't every once in a while take Jen aside and say, we have to have a normal volume conversation with each other, I will go insane. And I won't be a very good husband. And in the same way, if we don't take time regularly to spend time with the Lord and hear from him in his words, we will not operate well as believers. We also need to talk, right? I spent time with Jennifer. I was telling her all about the things that are going on and getting her opinion and her feedback. Often Jennifer feels like she is a feedback factory. I go to her and I ask her opinion on all sorts of things, and she's like, I don't know, stop bothering me. I love you. I'm like, I'm very glad that you love me. I'll try to stop. So in the same way, we go to the Lord and we pray to him, right? We go to him and we tell him all about what's going on. And while Jennifer is a very patient listener, God is an infinitely patient listener. And he wants to know all of our little cares and concerns and wants to have that intimacy of relationship with us, right? So hearing from him, talking to him, and last, and this is what I'm calling together with him. That it's good for you as an individual to do these things, but it is something even more significant when we do those things individually and then corporately gather, just like we are now, to do together with him. That when we come together and sing songs to him and worship him together and are encouraged by other people's testimonies and draw near to his throne of praise, that we are encouraged and edified and that we grow in different ways, that the gifts of the Spirit encourage and help us move forward together. So these are the three areas that if we want to grow as believers, if we want to see him as he is, that we need to be regularly partaking of. We need to be hearing from him in his word. We need to be praying to him and communicating back and forth with him in our prayers. And we need to be gathering together. And gym groups are a great way to be together with him. Can I just tell you what a blessing those groups are? In my gym group, 3 weeks ago, we had people who really, really needed jobs. And so we spent some consecrated time praying for that. And in 2 days, we heard back that one person had a job. And then when we gathered the next time, we found out that someone had messaged into the group, but they also had received a job that same week, and that we prayed again for another circumstance, for a job that had already been given, but there was no start date, there was no start date, there was no start date. We prayed the next day, the letter, the email came, start date. What an encouragement to me, and I don't even need a job. Praise the Lord, He's doing this in our midst, together with Him is so critical, which is why I'm so encouraged that Word of Grace is a place that takes together with Him seriously. God, you and me, together with Him. Really critical. What a blessing. And I think that these means of grace are really, really valuable for us. And so what I wanted to do is point back to the last verse, which actually in this passage was the first verse. Let's do verse 3 and then we'll do verse 1. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, how this ends is like this. And we, thank you. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. As we gather together with Him, we are encouraged and see the Lord working among us, and it strengthens our hope in Him, giving us greater desire for Him and encouraging those around us, right? So that helps our hope grow, which helps us continue to be more delighted by Him and less by the world. And so what I thought that we should do is take a look at what this looks like. And so when we have this hope, what does it look like? And so 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, we are just going to quickly breeze through this to see how this looks. I want you to pay attention for the word hope. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him with your eyes, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Leave that there for a moment. So these three categories that we talked about earlier are means through which we grow closer to the Lord. But there's a fourth idea that I think is equally as important, and that is suffering. That we experience growth as we continue to hear from Him and speak with Him and do together with Him. And one of the main ways that we see this in our lives, if you're asking the question, how do I know if I'm growing, is through suffering. In this letter, Peter is writing to a people who have been chased away from their homes. They've had to leave their family, their friends, their place of dwelling, everything that they know, and scatter to other places, having lost everything for Christ. And yet, this is what he writes about them, that they have been born into a living hope, a hope which causes them to live, And that now, even though they are grieved by all of these different trials, going through all these really difficult circumstances, that they are rejoicing, that they love him, even though they've never seen him, and that are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, receiving the goal of their faith, the salvation of their souls. This is an important concept for us because when we are suffering, we get a chance to come together and pray and ask the Lord for help, and many times he relieves it. But at the same time, there's an additional benefit. Because when you have joy in the Lord, despite suffering, it is a sign to you that the Lord is working in your life, that he is growing you, that you have every reason to be upset and to complain. If you're Colin this morning and you have had coughing that has resulted not in clearer airways but unconsciousness, and that he is unable to speak, and that this is typically the way that he serves, you have every reason to be unhappy, to be distressed and depressed. But if Colin comes together with us this morning, and he is experiencing joy in the presence of the Lord, saying, with Paul, three times I prayed for him to take this thorn in the flesh away, and I'm sure Colin has prayed many more than three times, but God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, he says, I rejoice in my suffering and my weakness, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so if Colin is able to do that this morning, then he sees the Lord growing him in his walk. That it's under the lens of suffering that we often are most able to see how the Lord has grown. So we've got three ways this morning: hearing, talking, and together with God. And one additional way, a feedback loop, through which we can see God's work in us in suffering. So this morning, as we have gathered together, we've prayed together, we've shared our needs and our concerns together, we also get one more opportunity to see God's goodness to us, his grace to us, even in suffering, that through suffering, we are able to even see the way that he is growing us. And it's for this reason that we can go back to 1 John 3:1 and end it together, exclaiming in the same way that John was exclaiming. How great is the love of the Father that he has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. If Colin this morning, in the midst of suffering, can take deep joy in the Lord, say things aren't going right in all of the areas that I wish that they were, if we collectively can look at our concerns and our trials and our difficulties and say, this is not destroying my faith. Instead, it's pointing to me to the deep joy I have in Jesus. Then when we are weak, then we are strong. And we can say, along with John, that is what we are, that we are children of God, because this is a gift, joy in the midst of suffering, that is not given to the world. You want to know if your faith is legit? If you can rejoice in the midst of suffering, that is an excellent sign for us. So for this morning, as we consider how we can grow toward Jesus, I would recommend that we do what we see here. That we would recognize that we want to see Jesus. As Navaz says, that we would not taste anything else once we have tasted him. And that we would say, along with Paul, that I've suffered the loss of all things and consider them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. That we would prize Jesus above all things. Austin quoted this morning, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. May that be the song of our hearts.
and let it propel us to speaking with him, hearing from him, and being together with him. Pray with me. God, we are so grateful that you have established these ways for us to see you and know you, and in seeing and knowing you, be transformed by you. God, we thank you for being able to be together in your word and get to hear from you. We thank you for being able to talk to you. And God, we thank you for being able to gather together with you, that we can be encouraged by each other's testimony and singing together your praise, that we have the blessing of giving toward you together and being your body, the church. God, we also want to thank you for suffering, that it's never easy to suffer, God, but we see in our lives that even in the midst of suffering, that we can see the growth that you've given and thank you for it. And so, God, I just want to thank you for the intimacy that we get to experience with you and the growth that you've given, and ask you for even more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.